Well, howdy doody, everybody. If I look square to my left, I see about 45 minutes into a sunrise here. As we approach St. Petersburg, Florida, on this gorgeous Wednesday morning, April 4th, 2018. You know, I actually recorded a podcast at about 2 a.m., something like 2:20 a.m. Actually, I recorded a podcast for about 25 minutes. That was right before I fell asleep, and it was pretty rambly. There were some good things in there. I started listening to it, but then I fell asleep listening to it, so I think that maybe we could do better. So good morning, everyone. It's the Ken Braverman Podcast, and the sun is rising, and there are a trillion and a half things to talk about today. All right. I'm excited. I'm going to be in South Florida before dinner today. As we cut through the fog here on a Florida highway, I usually don't take this route into Florida, but I came from Hotlanta. I went to the Braves Nationals game. That's how you know you're running good, even though it wasn't the best of days. or I had some annoyances of the day. But you know you're running good when you just pull up the MLB.com app on your phone just to see if there are any baseball games in the random city that you're in. And the team that you're a fan of in your hometown team, the Washington Nationals, are playing that team. Ding! And it's like $19.99 plus $6 on StubHub. It was like $25, and I was sitting in the bleachers, literally dodging home runs. There were three home runs in the first inning and a half, I think. It was unbelievable. At least two innings. There were like 12 runs in two innings. The score was like, I don't know what the score finished because I left because my back was hurting. My back was killing me. I could not sit and see. I guess it wasn't worth $20 for me to sit. I'd rather stand. But anyway, nice new park, SunTrust Field. It was nice because the sun just went down, so you didn't have to sit in the sun in the bleachers. If you are going to be in the bleachers and it's a day game, I would imagine you're going to get assaulted by the sun, so be careful. That's what I've learned, that lesson, from going to that game. Anyway, I watched a little of that and then took off and headed to Florida because there's nothing but driving in my life. If I post a podcast that I recorded when I was tired, it's kind of like thinking, what do you do with material that you don't want to put out to everyone? You could send it secretly to certain people. You could do that. There are a couple topics I want to talk about today on this morning's podcast. And they relate to the human condition. Now, there's a few things. One of them is called Wonderwear. Talk about that in a second. I like that name. Another reason I had to record this pod. Wonderwear, it relates to sunglasses. Or super sunglasses, I should say. And then the other thing I want this pod to be about is human brain, not really evolution, but human brain adaptation to its surroundings and what the availability of, imagine it was ancient Egypt and they had the Library of Alexandria, I believe it was, which, you know, according to all the folklore, the collections of all the greatest works of, you know, of knowledge and books and everything was in this temple in Alexandria, which I believe was burned down. Something happened to it. I think they tried to recreate it, but whatever. Whenever you hear like old Persian stories of scrolls and stuff, take it for what it's worth, right? Anyway, what I'm trying to get at is the world's wealth of knowledge at your fingertips, you know. Pythagoras, I guess, was hanging out in the old Alexandria library because everything was there. Well, now everything is on our phone anywhere we want. The old Alexandria library is infinitely times better now and more information is available, and we can get it, you know, from our phone near St. Petersburg, Florida right now if I just pulled over, or even if I don't pull over, right? talk about, like, we'll talk about Tesla car crashes and autopilots and stuff. We can do that in a later date. I don't have a lot to be about that. But anyway, so because information is so readily available, the human species, us, can get anything we want now and have virtual assistants answering questions for us. I pull out the phone and ask Google stuff all the time. I talk to my phone all the time. I must look like a weirdo. I was at the baseball game yesterday. You want to hear a funny story? I was at the baseball game yesterday. Well, before I do that, I'll finish a thought. Sorry. The second part of the pod is going to be about how our brains can adapt, whether or not they should adapt, I think yes, to this new way of thinking and interacting with a world of free-flowing information, and what that means for how our brains should learn, how we should be active in society. All right, that's the second part that sticks about it. The funny story is, I talk to my phone all the time. I use the phone really all the time. Having a good phone is like having a right-hand assistant right there. It's like having your Hope Hicks right there. That's what your phone can do for you. Trump doesn't use a cell phone, or he uses his phone, but he doesn't really use it. You know, he doesn't use email. He doesn't use that for community. He just calls people. He talks. Like, you think those conversations aren't recorded, buddy? Jesus Christ. Anyway, funny story is, I was at the Braves Nationals game, and I got there in between batting practice and the start of the game for an hour, right? And I go to get some food, and at that point, the sun was beating down really hard on section 147 where my tickets were, which was left field bleachers, like two or three sections off the left field line. And it was not a comfortable place to go eat a overpriced taco salad. Now, taco bowl. But it was still good. Taco bowl was actually good. Now, so I decided to sit. There's some benches out there in the walkway there, and there's a really attractive woman sitting at the edge of one of the benches, and you could see that people were sharing. So it's like Green Park benches you'd see out in the park too, and people sharing. So there's this one spot open across from this really attractive woman, and she's sitting there, and she kind of looks like she's waiting for somebody, but not really, and there's no other place to sit. And I walk past it at first, because the first thing I always do is I don't start anything. So then there's nothing, no other place to sit, so I circle back and, you know, make eye contact, and I'm like, she's like, no, no, it's open. So I sit down, and then there's that uncomfortableness of, all right, I'm going to eat, and I have to, I'm like staring, you know, 2 feet away from this person that I don't know. Do I lean and look the other way? Do I not want to act, not whatever? I don't, but sometimes I'm weird in public sometimes, for some reason. I don't know why. I want to avoid confrontation or something, avoid stuff with people I don't know. I just want to be pleasant and not bother anyone. Right? I just want to blend in like a wallflower. I want to be like James Comey in that meeting with the president. I want to be tall and wear blue and stand next to the Drave so that hopefully nobody notices me. Nobody sees me. Just let me go. In and out. Right? Now, so I sit sideways, because also I'm freaking enormous, and if I put my legs underneath one of those benches, I'm going to start kneeing her like we're playing footsie at Thanksgiving dinner, and I don't want to do that. So I sit sideways, I start to eat sideways, I don't look at her. Then after a minute, I look over, and I can't help but stare at her shirt, not for that reason, but because it said like baseball, and it was spelled BAE, and the BAE was in brackets. And I thought, does she work for BAE Systems or something? And then, because all you think about is like government contractors when you're around the DC area. And so I was like, and so I asked, this is what happens to me, I have Tourette's syndrome. I asked, we started a conversation, I got to know why she was at the game. She's hot, she's married. She's 27, I thought she was 29, she's hot. Anyway, nice. I'm sure she thought I was a weirdo, but that's fine. No, I think I did okay for myself. Anyway, what was the point of that story? I brought that up because I was talking into my phone in front of her, and she's from Georgia. I don't know what that matters, but well, it's certainly not around. She did not work for BAE Systems. That's right. No, she responded with, no, it's just Bay, like baseball, because, you know, it's just stupid. She's like, she said something like, oh, I wish it was an actual reason. She was funny. But anyway, the point is, what is that? Nothing to do going to a baseball game by myself. You know how soon I left that baseball game? Want the truth? An inning and a half. My back was so bad that after an inning, I said, F this, I'm going to literally not be able to walk. This is the thing, when you throw out your lower back and you're enormous, when you get up after sitting for, you know, there were like 12 runs in the first 2 innings, when you're sitting for that for an hour and then you get up, I look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I can't move. And people are like, dude, what the? And I'm like, I know, just give me a minute and I'll straighten my discs out. Hold on, let me lean up to the stanchion for a second. Can somebody roll? Isn't there a Simpsons episode where Homer rolls over a trash can that somehow is molded to fix up the discs in a bag? That's what I need sometimes. I left after an hour. I hobbled back to the car. I'm not kidding. Anyway, I'm better now. I laid out in the car and that helped. Anyway, among other things. Now, all right. I wanted this pod to be about how us adjusting to using this free flow of information is really, it is an imperative. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday about how no matter what you do for a living or for a hobby or for anything, if you don't start using cutting edge technology in that field, you're not doing it in an optimal way. It's really starting to apply to literally everything. You can't think of something you can't do better. Now, there are rituals and traditions and things, like you think about like the game of baseball. I'm going to watch so much more baseball this year than I have ever watched in my life. Because my grandpa really likes baseball, and part of me spending time with him will be watching the game. Now, baseball is a long thing. That's the fun thing about that game, is that when you're old, you can fall asleep for 15, 20 minutes and you miss absolutely nothing. You miss two pitcher changes and a seventh inning stretch song by, you know, like, seven by Alanis. I don't know. Anybody, right? Sorry, I just saw a cop taking radar. No, so I don't even know what the laws are about phones in states. I should probably figure that out. You know, I don't want to change subjects too much, but isn't that all we do on the Ken Rayburn podcast? I will say about something, because in the pod that I haven't posted and might not post, I talked about why I drove to Atlanta yesterday. And how I showed up at 4:29 to an office that closes at 4:30, and how I did not get helped. And how I was a tad bit annoyed at that. It was tough to volley that load of BS after driving 11 hours to try to solve a freaking problem. It sucks to do that, I have to say. But, like... sorry, another comp taking radar. I'll get back on track here in a second. Sorry, we're meandering for a second. What are you? Are you at work right now? Are you in the car driving? I figure there's only one of two things you'd be doing listening to this podcast. I can't imagine where else I would listen to this podcast if I was listening to it. Did you just discover podcasts? Do you know what a podcast is? Let me tie a podcast into the theme of what I wanted this pod to be about. Because I was thinking about how I parent my son and also how my brain has changed even over the past 18 months. Talk about a Moore's Law of brain development. I'd say a few years ago, I had a more of a memory problem when it came to current events and remembering names and knowing what was going on. That has totally switched in my brain in a weird way. And also the way I take in information has changed. I adopted something like, I call it like a newsletter feed adaptation of brain memory now. And it's not like, it's a training thing because it's what you expose yourself to all the time. I'll explain what I'm talking about. So a few places that I get news sources from on a daily or weekly basis are Inside.com, which is a San Francisco-based Jason Calacanis organization, invested organization, I believe. They do a sweep of the news and write, paraphrases of stories and then link to them on the day's topics. They do essentially a good news roll of things you want to see and interesting stuff. They're very good, and they have multiple variations of newsletters for different topics. So they have a newsletter for podcasting. They have a newsletter for the newsletter, meaning I mean email with like five, six stories where they do a paragraph about it. Like there'll be one today. I get one for Inside Automotive or Inside Electric Vehicles. I subscribe to that one too. And Inside AI actually is another huge one where I get all artificial intelligence updates. People wonder, how the hell do you know everything all the time? And, I don't know everything, but how do you know all these current things that I've never heard of? And the answer is I read these newsletters. I don't read much, but I read these newsletters. And when I get 6 or 12 new stories or new topics a day in some area, that is a huge wealth of information. Imagine the top 12 things that happened today. You know, a Dave Letterman type list, your top 10 list or whatever today. And those can be huge stories. They don't just have to be political. I tend to overdo it on the political stuff, but it's also science and technology based as well. Now, what happened is constantly exposing yourself to 10 major stories and trying to spend the 15, 20 minutes to read them per day or whatever it is and get into them a little more and think about them yields a deeper memory string in your head about certain issues, allows you to pontificate more on them, and also gains a deeper understanding of them and allows you to extrapolate out. So, I think that years ago, many times, and my grandpa, for example, my grandpa has adopted a philosophy, not a philosophy, his way of getting news was at 11 o'clock, he'd watch the half-hour local news. Wow, let's talk about Sinclair Broadcasting being a story that would tie into this. He's used to watching his 11 o'clock news, recognizing the same people, and he likes that news. He doesn't like different news from different sources. That he's not accustomed to. And that way of getting news is outdated and flawed and susceptible to manipulation. Oh, shizzle. Wow, isn't it? This is why I recorded the podcast about Roseanne the other day. It breaches that sanctity of filter of BS, of source of information, of data that a lot of people who are stuck on routine have. And that's why Roseanne will get to a lot of Trump's base will watch Roseanne's show. I think I'm going to watch Roseanne with my grandpa. I wonder when they replay it. We should watch it. I could not find the episode online. I tried, and I guess you I guess they really have that shiznit on lockdown and nobody's pirated it on the open market yet. So you can't really get it unless you do something, so I'll figure that out. Alright. We go a little bit more on brain changes. So changing the way you think and the way you take in information and understand things, given the way you can understand things now, like it was different 20, 30 years ago when there still are journals like this, like medical journals will come out when there's a bunch of studies about advancements in the medical whatever. So they put out the journal every quarter, every month, and they do a peer review on a lot of things. It's supposed to be a really hoity-toity that it would go out to doctors, and then the doctors would read it, and then there would be, you know, a filter down of new information into the doctor ecosystem of information, right? Well, now, advancements, I mean, earth-shattering human treatment advancements are happening all over the world all the time with genetic immunotherapy, GNR, you know, genetics, nanotechnology and robotics, those three singularity type events all coming together, artificially intelligently making all those things incredible. With all that stuff happening, our brains have to learn to weave ourselves in with that. We have to, otherwise we become old version. Like my grandpa, I have got him to use a phone and learn how to scroll with a phone, but even his hands, he fat thumbs stuff on the phone and can't even like browse through apps because he just goes in the wrong way. Like my kid is a trillion times better than him. My kid is better than me with the phone because he's evolved to be all over. Oh yeah, I'll finish more in this direction, but I think that a valid statement that a parent will have about a kid using a device will be that kid's on that device too much. That kid's on his phone too much playing games, and that is right. People shouldn't be on a device all the time. Now, is that because it's bad to be connected to technology all the time and be able to scroll through stuff and be able to play a game or validate a personal whatever by posting a picture or looking at a friend's thing, doing whatever one does on a phone? Is it bad to be connected and constantly occupying your mind with that all the time? The answer is, I think if it's a reflective act where you're kind of looking in a mirror and doing something for yourself and your brain and only benefiting yourself, if only doing a selfish act, okay, if only gratifying yourself is all you're doing with your phone, then no, that it's not something you should do all the time, and it has the additional benefits of being a weird act where you're physically holding a device and just pressing it and staring at it all the time and hurting your neck by staring down at it. Like, obviously that's bad, that's wrong. Now, being connected to information and being able to manipulate it and wield it and have access to it is not wrong. It's part of what I think we all have to evolve and become. I think we should become that. Well, one thing I want is I want like Google Glass. I call it Wonderwear. Wonderwear because I was thinking of like a superhero that had superhero sunglasses, and I was like, Wonder Woman is cool because that Wonder Woman movie I heard was awesome. I got to see that Wonder Woman movie. Put that Wonder Woman movie on Netflix. When are they going to start getting really hot, awesome titles on Netflix, you know, a month after they come out in the movie theater? Is Netflix going to get that powerful? Is Netflix going to become the Amazon of movies? I think they might. Or maybe Amazon will become the Amazon of movies. Jeff Bezos knows what he's doing. I won't get into a war. There's so many things to talk about, I can't stop. Let's finish with Wonderwear, because I wanted this topic to be, this podcast to be about two things. One was Wonderwear, the other was information. They kind of weaved in together, aren't they? I want, you know, something like if Elon Musk took over the sunglasses market, I want something that's super awesome. Sunglasses. They are going to do everything. They are the universal Wonderwear. What do they do? Here's what they do. they obviously look cool. Maybe they morph the way they look. Maybe they're a complete like LCD screen all over, and then some type of padded whatever to be on your skin and not irritate your skin or whatever, or sit on your ear or whatever. Maybe they sit differently. Maybe that's their thing. Maybe they don't sit on the ears. How annoying is having your sunglasses sit on your ears and your nose? Why put pressure on the bridge of your nose? That can't be good for your breathing. It's like the opposite of a breathing chip, right? Screw that. Maybe this type of sunglass, here's what I'm thinking. Maybe they look kind of like an hourglass, sort of, if you stood them up on end. And they just, you just put them in between your eyebrow ridge and down that part of your, that part of your face, like on James Mattis's eyes. If you've ever seen James Mattis's, the Secretary of Defense's eyes, they droop lower than like that saggy cartoon dog. The thing we would put on our eyes would go from the brow of your eyebrow ridge down to about where James Mattis feels sad and hasn't got any sleep. That's also a sign of like heart failure too. Your blood's not flowing well in your eyes. You're really just tired. It's like that all the time. Anyway, that's where you would like put this hourglass shaped thing over your eyes, all right? So in essence, they look like a pair of sunglasses, but they don't have any ear straps on them, you know, right? Somehow they rest. Maybe they're anti-gravity. They're cool. They have to be futuristic. These Wonderwear things are going to do everything. They're going to be a prescription pair of bifocals. They're going to be a prescription sunglasses, obviously. They're going to have 100% UV protection if you want them to. Maybe they'll have some type of automatic polarization. They're going to be a camera. They're going to be a video camera taking pictures. They're going to be connected to the internet. They're going to operate on voice command. They're going to do everything. Everything. Because they could. Think about all the things that that could help you with. They're going to test glucose levels in your eyes. They're going to do all kinds of stuff. It won't be a contact lens. They're going to be over that, but they're going to be able to do all kinds of things. I want a pair of those. I want something now. The Wonderwear of the future, that thing that I'm talking about is 10 years away, maybe 5 years away to really work perfectly. But Google Glass was an attempt at that, and we'll get to it as we miniaturize the power and miniaturize the batteries and miniaturize all kinds of stuff and find ways to ambiently charge things without our traditional batteries using rare earth elements. We'll find some other ways to do stuff. AI is going to solve a lot of problems. You forget what's going to happen when we ask super intelligent computers that are set on problem solving to solve serious problems for us. We'll be like, how do we stop global warming? Hey, AI. Hey, computer. How do we help people get along instead of fight? How do we solve the conflict in Syria? Right? Things that are multifaceted issues that our human brain has difficulty digesting all the components. Maybe a robot can at least give us a more creative solution. Now, what if we implement something that goes terribly wrong? I don't know. Yeah, there are going to be unintended consequences. But it doesn't mean it won't be right sometimes. So it'll be an option for us. All right, I'm sure this pod's been more than 17 minutes. This has been 28. Yow, nice. It's a Wednesday morning. Life's going down the direction. Somebody go buy Wonderwear.com if they don't already own it. Wonderwear is probably taken. Actually, that's kind of a unique word. There's a chance. WONDERWEAR.com. Wonderwear. There's a chance that's available. I don't think so, though. Yeah, I don't know. I'll lay it up. All right, Ken Bergman is out for now.